Let's play a game. Those were words said by one of our characters in today's story. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. This channel provides comprehensible input for English language learners. As you listen to these stories and understand them, you will acquire the English language. This is the way comprehensible input works. This is the modern way to acquire languages. In today's story, we first join Kathy. She is just emerging from her study at home. Kathy is an attorney who has been working all day in her own office at home. She used to go to the law office to do her work, but since the pandemic hit, she has been working remote, and that approach still works for her, even though the pandemic is over. For the most part, Kathy works remotely. As she emerges from her office, she is satisfied that she's done a lot of work today. She worked from morning until this part of the afternoon, taking breaks only to get something to drink, use the bathroom, and then she took a lunch break. Her day was very productive, but she found herself a little restless. There was something nagging at her, something gnawing at her, but she couldn't put her finger on it. The expression, put her finger on it, refers to her inability to specifically know what it was. There's something, but she wasn't quite sure what it was. She couldn't put her finger on it. She shrugged it off and continued her activities because she needs to get the dinner prepared for the family. The boys arrived home from school, and Kathy explained to Craig that she would like some help preparing dinner. He agreed, but he continued gathering his Boy Scout uniform. Today is Monday. Monday afternoon and Monday evening is when the Boy Scout meeting occurs for Craig's Boy Scout troop. Now, Kathy counts herself as fortunate because Craig's scout leader lives nearby and he typically provides a ride for Craig to and from the scout meeting. That's just one less thing for her to worry about. Tonight's dinner is going to be a good one. Kathy is preparing brown rice, asparagus, fish, salad, and then fruit for dessert. Shortly, Craig came down to the kitchen in his uniform. Excellent, she thought. He can help. She tasked him with putting the plates on the table, setting the table, that is, putting out the silverware and napkins. Now that Craig is tall enough, he can reach all those things in the kitchen, including the plates up in the cabinet. In the past, he wasn't tall enough to reach the plates. Also, as an 11-year-old or 11-and-a-half-year-old Boy Scout, Craig can be trusted with sharp knives and even things that are hot. He can take hot items out of the oven without burning himself. He knows how to use the pot holders or hot mitts to remove things from the oven carefully. Craig prefers the hot mitts. They seem more secure, protecting his hands. She also asked Craig to cut and rinse the asparagus so that that could go into the steamer. The rice cooker is automatic. It's fire and forget. You put the stuff in it, and you push the button, and it takes care of itself. Kathy likes this. She has fresh fish that she got yesterday afternoon, and it's one of her favorites. She chose the red snapper. Cooking the fish is the only thing that Kathy really concentrates on because it's pretty easy to overcook fish and ruin it. The steamer for the asparagus is automatic. The rice cooker is automatic. Really, the only thing she has to worry about is the fish. During this process of fixing dinner, Kathy had one eye on the clock. Now, one eye on the clock is an expression we use for paying attention to the clock. It's a metaphor, one eye on the clock. Soon, dinner came together. It was all done. So Kathy suggested that Craig summon his brother, Bobby, and his dad from the workshop. This was done quickly, and the family sat down to dinner. They always sit in the same place. Kathy's seat at the table is nearest to the kitchen for her convenience of coming and going from the kitchen if something needs to be retrieved from the kitchen. Bobby always sits to her right because that's where his high chair was when he was a little baby. This is how Kathy learned that she was ambidextrous. When Kathy grew up, she knew she was right-handed because she wrote with her right hand, but when she had a little baby sitting in a high chair next to her seat on her right side, she learned that she could feed him with her left hand rather well. She realized that she is rather ambidextrous. She can actually write a little bit with her left hand. Not well, but she can write with her left hand as well. Craig always sits across from his mom, and Robert is always to Kathy's left side. The serving plates were passed, but Kathy habitually serves the hot items onto Bobby's plate for him. He's getting big enough that he should be able to do that, but she has this habit of serving her youngest son. It was about that time, when everything was served, that Bobby asked where was the tartar sauce. Kathy was rather surprised at that question. So she asked, where did that come from? I've never served tartar sauce here. Bobby said, oh, we have it at school. When they serve fish at school, it always has tartar sauce. Kathy answered quickly, well, tartar sauce is a funny thing. Do you know where it comes from? Bobby indicated that he didn't. Kathy went on to explain that tartar sauce came out of France about 150 years ago, and that it was named for steak tartare, which is ground raw beef. It was a garnish for that dish, and that's how it got its name. It's made from mayonnaise and pickle relish, sometimes some lemon juice to give it some tang, make it a little bit sour. And Kathy doesn't serve it because it's processed food and because she wants the fish flavor to come through on its own. She feels that tartar sauce would overpower good fish. She explained to Bobby and the rest of the family that she sees tartar sauce as being something you put on fish that you've ruined by overcooking, or fish that's not very good. As dinner progressed, it became clear that they had plenty of time to talk as a family. The Boy Scout leader wouldn't be there for another 30 minutes, so they had plenty of time. Over dinner, Kathy often likes to engage the boys, really the whole family, in discussions about interesting topics, sometimes philosophical topics. Often she conducts these sessions in a rather Socratic way. Now that expression, a Socratic method, refers to the teaching methods of Socrates as we understand what they were. It is said that Socrates, rather than lecturing his students or disciples, would simply ask them probative questions and draw the answers out of them. Let them come up with the answers based on these clever questions that he posed to them. This has very much been Kathy's style in raising these two boys. She learned this from when she was a law clerk for a federal judge. Kathy considers herself very fortunate because she had done well in law school, she had good grades, and she got good recommendations. And so right after law school, she became a law clerk for a federal judge. This Socratic approach is what she learned from her mentor, the judge. She thought he was a great role model for her. Today, Kathy said, let's play a game. Let's play a game. What will we call it? Let's call it plus 10 years. Everyone else at the table was puzzled. What is she talking about? She explained, you know, time doesn't stop. It continues marching on. And 10 years in the future will come. The question I'm posing to you is, what do you want to be? What do you want to be doing in 10 years? In a flash, she got an insight what she needed to say next. She had been restless all day. She couldn't put her finger on it. She wasn't sure why she was restless. But the idea just sprang from her. She said, I'll start. She said, I want to be a judge. The two boys and Robert were fairly surprised at this. She had never mentioned that before. They're very familiar with her law career. They didn't know that she harbored this wish to become a judge. Indeed, Kathy didn't know she harbored that wish to be a judge. It just came out of her today. And yet when she said it, it just felt right. Robert was very impressed with what she had said, and he was starting to think what it would take and how he could help her get what she wants. Robert is a very devoted husband, and he really wants her to get what she wants. Rather than speaking for himself, he turned to Craig and asked what Craig wanted to be. This was when Bobby butted into the conversation and offered something that was not requested of him. He said, Craig wants to be married to Charlotte. This little announcement from the little brother was not welcome. Craig knows that everyone knows that he is enamored with Charlotte. And in his heart of hearts, he does want to marry Charlotte. He's actually said that out loud. But he didn't want Bobby saying it at the dinner table. He was very embarrassed. So he very quickly changed the subject. He said, I think I'd like to be a musician. Robert said, well, in 10 years you will be 21 and a half, going on 22. So pursuing a musical career is certainly a possibility. It's just a lot of work. But if that's your passion, maybe that's what you should do. You may change your mind over the years. But we'll remember this conversation. He then turned to Bobby and said, what about you, Bobby? What do you want to be in 10 years? He then quickly did the math for Bobby, pointing out that in 10 years, Bobby would be 18 years old. Bobby answered, oh, that's easy. I want to be a college student, just like David. I want to go to the university and study something interesting. Of course, that answer very much satisfied both parents. Then Robert pushed back in his chair and thought, what do I want to do? Where do I want to be in 10 years? He turned to Kathy and gestured to her with his hand and said, well, first of all, I want to be married to you. And I want my sons to be growing up to be healthy, strong young men. And then after a brief pause, he says, I think I want to make things. I want to make things with my hand. He went on to explain that his job at the hardware store allowed him to earn a good living, but most of his work in the day-to-day was managerial. It was numbers and papers and solving little petty problems. And he was very envious of the people who came into the store to buy supplies so that they could make something with their hands. He wasn't sure what he wanted to make, but he wanted to make something. He wants to be more of a craftsman. He explained that. He was explaining it to himself as well as to the rest of the family. He said, you know, I can make things out of wood, but I'm not sure that's what I want to be working with. I'm not sure wood is my medium. Should it be metal? Should I become a potter? If I stay with wood, should I do wood carvings or wood turning? I don't know. He said, these are the things I'm thinking about. And in 10 years, something along these lines hopefully will come to pass. They continued to talk for a while, and then soon it was time for the Boy Scout leader to show up to pick up Craig. Kathy rose from her place and asked Craig to help her clear the dishes. As the two of them cleared the plates and serving dishes from the table, she found herself very satisfied with the events of this meal. She figures that she will remember this for the long term. This is when she discovered what she really wants to be in the future. She also learned a little bit more about what her boys were thinking. And although she doesn't demand that they define their life at this stage, she found it very satisfying that they were thinking about this. She was also thrilled that Robert came out of his shell and explained that he wanted to make things with his hands. She considered all of this very healthy. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.